fucking bring it on.
Fucking hi.
Oh, hi.
I'm in a weird mood.
I'm on a fart chair. So are you.
What do you mean on your fart chair?
We're on the weird, like, leathery ones.
That's not... No one can hear that.
Okay.
No one... You had to do such weird things then to make that chair fart. Like, Josie was literally, like, sliding down the chair slowly, pushing her ass into the chair to make it make a noise.
I just usually use the other chair. Now I'm paranoid.
Now she's being high maintenance.
If you
she's
guys...
We've gotten to this point, guys.
Yeah.
She's at the point where she needs the special chair.
I need my own personal podcast chair.
If I don't have my personal podcast chair, then I'm not doing it.
I can't work under these conditions, Melissa. I can't.
It takes a lot of effort to do this podcast.
To sit here and listen to you talk.
We're laughing about that because I researched today, as yay! I always do.
Classic big Mel areas there.
Big Mel. To be fair, we've got some bad news, which we should tell you.
You break it
because you're the most incensed.
Okay. So we did a live show, as you guys know, and we've been talking about it ever since because we were really excited and people in the group had been and they were talking about jokes from it and people asked, hey, is that going to be live and on the show? And we said, yep, we're going to upload it. Basically, we got the files back from the venue and half of the podcast, half of the episode didn't actually record. The file was corrupted. And that was
the half, the bigger half.
The first half, my story, the bigger half, which then makes the second half not make a lot of sense.
It doesn't make any sense.
And I talked for like 100 years and Mel talked for a very brief amount of time and it was Mel's recording that actually worked. So we're not going to be able to post the live episode.
Which is really devastating because...
I'm so upset.
We were really fucking funny.
It was really funny.
On our game.
We were like... Amy Schumer. What's another female comedian?
Amy Schumer and also another Amy Schumer.
Well, two Amy Schumers up there. And
the two Amy Schumers of Australia.
Yeah.
Just
Tina Fey. There's one.
Amy Poehler. I had other ones in my head. I just thought it was funnier Tina if it was Fey. These two Amy Schumers.
Two Amy Schumers up there just riffing. We were funny and it was fun and we had funny jokes.
Yeah.
That people have been saying. Like, no one's going to know what a sex carpet is now.
No. It's like, I'm really sad about it. Sex carpet was pretty great. And there's things I don't even remember because
I don't even remember half of it. We were very
anxious
and drunk.
It's so funny because listening to the second bit that didn't really work, but you can hear how drunk I am. I'm like, I don't know, you guys. It's like, I'm a bottle of wine. I'm fine. I'm so excited to be here. It's like everything's just meshed into one word.
Yeah, one long syllable.
Long word.
Aww.
Anyway, it's really sad, but yeah, so we can't. So, but instead, very exciting news that we're going to tell you, but we don't actually 100% know how we're going to do this yet. But we're going to do a live episode.
A Facebook Live episode.
A Facebook Live finale episode of this season.
Yes.
So we've added an extra episode.
Yep.
And the reason we've done that is because I really wanted to do this episode. And I didn't want my episode to be pilfered by a live episode. So you're getting 21 episodes this season. But the 21st episode will be this little fun videoed live thing.
Yes. We'll also record it. We'll make sure it records.
We will.
So it'll also go up on your podcast providers. But you can also, we'll give you plenty of notice.
Yeah.
But you can go on the Facebook group, All Aussie Mystery Hour, on Facebook. So if you're not already a member of that, because we know how many of you are listening to this podcast and we know how many people are in the group.
Yes.
And there's a lot of people that aren't in the group.
There's a distinction.
Join the group and then we'll put the video there and it will be live and it'll be at night time. So you guys will be home. You can go home, have a shower.
Put your gym jams on.
Yeah, gym jams on your thick
feed
socks.
The dog.
Your really daggy socks that no one knows about.
With a hole in the toe.
Yeah.
And then you sewn it up a little bit, but a little bit still sticks out.
Yeah. Your favourite socks.
And your trackies with your pizza
comfy,
stains on them already.
Yeah, your pants. And then
take your makeup off.
Don't cook. Order like Deliveroo, Uber Eats.
Yeah.
We're going to.
We're going to order every fucking fast. We're going to have pizza. We're going to have.
Yes.
We're going to have pizza. Like shit pizza. Like, not like
yes, I know what
not
you mean.
Fancy fucking Italian pizza, like
No.
Pizza Hut shit.
Yeah, I want. Remember when we got Pizza Hut at my house when we watched Game of Thrones?
Yes. That was the best day ever.
That was the best day ever.
We're going to Pizza Hut pizza. We're going to. Or Domino's. Don't care. Either or.
If anyone wants to send us free Domino's or free Pizza
Hut. I just called you shit. But you know what I mean? I meant it in an endearing way.
Yeah,
guys.
We love you for your shitness.
It's like I'm foregoing the fancy shit because I want this. OG.
Yeah, the really
no bullshit.
Thick crust. The pepperoni.
Like anyone from the age of 5 and upward could make it in the shop. Probably just are.
Throwing
stuff on there. Just absolutely throwing it.
Yeah.
And then throwing some at their friends.
Yeah.
And then throwing more on the pizza.
Yeah.
And you don't know if some of the stuff that hit the friend hit the pizza, but that's okay.
Probably
it's fine.
It all gets cooked. The bacteria goes.
Bacteria goes when you cook things. That's the facts. That's absolutely the facts, guys.
Yeah.
That's coming from a scientist over here.
Yeah.
You can live your life by that.
So we'll be eating the bacteria pizza. Mm-hmm. And we'll be doing a live episode. And you can watch it live.
Yes.
You can see us.
You can see us.
If you want to
see
us.
Real time.
Some of you want to see us, which weird flex, but I'm not judging.
Yeah. I mean, we're not going to look great.
No.
I'm not going to try particularly hard. But, you know, I'm happy for you to look at my face.
Because right now, my pants are undone.
Yeah.
And I didn't brush my hair today.
Yes. And I have mascara that's trailed down under my eyes and I don't have any lipstick on and I have no lips without lipstick. So I'm just saying don't expect too much
don't
from
expect
us.
Don't expect.
But you can watch us.
Great things.
Yes.
That's kind of the tagline of this podcast, really. Don't expect
since
great
the get-go,
things.
All we've said is it could be anything.
Yep.
You don't know what to get. And we're not really going to try to our absolute highest potential, but we'll give a good crack at it.
Like a decent crack.
Aussie Mystery Hour. Who cares?
Who cares? Exclamation mark.
I did want to like cement a story from the group forever into the podcast because it was basically somebody else in the group had posted saying that they'd had a mystery poo after our – I know we're not going to talk about poo forever, guys. This is like the last kind of mention of poo, okay?
I don't know about that.
I mean, not the last ever, but like it's going to fade out a little bit. Like there'll be significantly less mentions of poo after
yes,
now.
Yes, probably.
But
it's just trending
the
right now.
The poo mystery is still hanging around. And this person was like, there was a poo mystery in my house. And basically there was a rogue poo. And she was like, it might have been my child after the bath.
Yeah.
And then that reminded me of a time when I was a nanny. And so a way that people train kids to toilet train is that they'll just like not put undies on them or pants so that they learn to.
They can't just do it anywhere.
Yeah. Like once they learn
that's not
do
fun.
It in the toilet, then it's like.
That's the only place we do it.
If they've got undies on, they're more likely to do it in the undies because it feels like a nappy or whatever. Yeah. So this little boy, Michael, that I used to babysit, this is a million years ago. He probably is old enough to listen to this podcast, which is disturbing. He's probably going to be like, hang on a minute. That's me.
This horrific story is about me.
Yes. So he was like 1.5 or something, whatever age it was. I don't know. Can't remember. And I had to leave him with his undies off to run around. And like, I'd never seen him do a poo. He'd done wee's before, just on the floor, but never like a poo.
Babies
it's very
like
weird. They
I
are
hate
like animals.
This story.
Babies are like animals. Animals are like babies. It's
That's
there isn't
gross.
Much differentiation besides the fact that you're legally allowed to leave your animal at home.
Yes,
as a child.
That's true.
But he basically, I don't know. Like, but he had this like book corner.
Yeah.
That was off to the side of the lounge room. Like it was like
the
bookshelf concealed behind it. And then there was like a toy box behind that. So it was like a tiny little nook that he could go into. It was really cute. And he was just like, I was cooking dinner, doing whatever. He was like being quiet, which normally you should be concerned about, but I wasn't because I could see he was in the nook.
Yeah.
And then like, you know, life goes on. I just, you know, feed him.
Yeah.
Everything's fine. Anyway, the next week I come back to work and I get sat down by the parents and they're look, so we really need to be vigilant about Michael's stray poos because we found one in the nook and it was quite old.
Oh, no.
And we think it must have happened on your watch. And I was like, I was literally like, are we actually having this conversation?
Oh,
like, am I getting
God.
In trouble for a stray poo
right
now? Yeah,
for a bodily function coming from a one-year-old
in
child.
In the nook as well.
In the
nook. There was no proof that it was on my watch. It yeah. probably was.
Did they take it to that same testing facility from the Could You Bay Poo episode? How old determine. Is this? Is it human? Was it Michael or was it fucking Fido the dog that snuck into the nook and snapped one off? You know, oh, how do God. They know?
I know, you don't. And they just blamed me. I bet you anything it was like on the dad's watch and he's yeah. like throwing the of nanny course, under the bus.
Because blanket statement, dads suck.
Mm-hmm.
They're useless.
Absolute blanket I love statement.
I love them, but they're terrible.
No joke, mum. So my dad's retired now, and that means like he's always around, like a bad smell, like an endearing bad smell. But it's very funny because he wasn't always around, and yes, now he is.
Now he's very present.
Yeah, and he does like favors for mum. And so the other day, mum's like, "Oh, like, can you go down the road and buy natural yogurt? This is the brand. Make yep. sure it's natural, like, yep. natural flavor."
Yes.
It was buy 2 packets of muesli, buy a packet of cherry tomatoes, and buy 2 tubs of Western Star butter or whatever.
Yeah.
Organic spreadable.
Yeah.
Right? Dad comes home. God. He gets the muesli right.
Okay.
Gets the cherry tomatoes right. Pulls Good. Out 2 sticks of butter. Like fucking like sticks like you're going to cook like a cake.
Gonna bake.
Yeah. And it's like he eats this butter every goddamn day.
Just think.
What in what world would your wife need sticks of butter?
Yeah, when she said tub, clearly.
And
to
like,
you.
What is going? What are you thinking that she's gonna do with it? Anyway, that was funny. Then, he bought vanilla yogurt.
Of course he did.
Yeah, because he was like, oh, but it's like the container's the same.
No, anyway, but then so. That tastes sweet. And what if she needed it for a savory dish?
Yes,
like you've just fucked that up.
Oh, completely. If, it was so
know,
funny.
I can't trust you to do it. I may as well do it myself.
This is mum. That's mum's motto of life, yeah, I think.
That I'm a bit like that. Mm. Look, that was a mean blanket statement because I had my parents were divorced and my dad had to be pretty capable.
Yeah.
And he was. But like, you know, dads just have that kind of
yeah,
air like, about them. I don't know.
They're like, look, the pasta goes into the sauce.
Yeah.
And then you cook it all
then
together.
Then you cook it all together. No.
No, dad.
It doesn't.
No, you don't do that unless you're a very good Italian cook.
Yeah.
Me too. Should we get started because people don't like us talking too much?
Oh, we really have talked a lot.
I know, but that's okay. That was like, I don't know, I'm a little bit drunk and I'm sort of a bit laissez-faire about it. I'm just a bit je ne sais quoi. I'm just saying French words for no reason and they don't make any sense to what I'm actually saying. So what I am doing is the bunyip.
Josie's
going to get really scared.
I'm gasping though.
She did know
I'm
that.
Scared.
She's doing a fake gasp. But fake she did gasping. Actually know. I got a few credits that are weird, but like really, as with mm-hmm. Yowie, it's really hard to credit a mythical creature. So we've got murrayriver.com.au.
Yep.
Weirdly educational, that website. It's literally about the Murray River, but has a lot of other
had a
shit
lot of
on it too.
Shit on there.
Mysterious Universe, of course.
Oh my God, I love
weird
that
Australia,
website.
Weird Australia, of course.
Yep.
And NITV, Shadow Trackers,
yes.
a favourite fucking show that we
the
haven't
boys.
Watched.
We
so
need to like...
It's on SBS On Demand, guys. So we're all going to watch it now, right?
Yes. I'm going to watch it this weekend.
I am going to... I'm away this weekend, but I'm going to watch it next week.
Okay. Because my plans, I was going to go away this weekend and now I'm not. So now, don't you love that? Now yeah. I have these 2 days
oh.
with just nothing planned.
It is so rare.
It's never
to just
happens.
Have nothing on and never be able happens. To watch Shadow Trackers.
Yep. I'm going to watch all 4 episodes or whatever we found.
We are on an absolute quest to try and get in touch with the guys.
Yes, if anyone knows
show.
Them. What are their names? Zach and...
I've forgotten.
Chad.
No, that's definitely not his name. This Zach maybe is one. I can Google it.
Zach
it's
and...
It's not as fun as trying to guess it though.
Garrett.
I'm going to say...
Channing.
Harvey. Shanning.
Benedict.
Shanning. Did you just say Shanning?
Channing.
Oh, I thought you said Shanning. And I'm like, you're making up names. No, it's not even a real name.
Shammy.
Hamlet and Marvin.
That's no. them. That's it.
Shadow Trackers. I'm Googling. Keep guessing.
Pedro.
Oh, my God. One of them we were pretty... Pedro.
There
one
is
of them
a Zach,
we were actually
right?
close.
Chad.
Yeah, there's a Zach and the other one is...
Channing.
Hunter.
Hunter.
I feel like we're close with some of those
Wait,
weird
isn't
names.
Isn't the show called... Oh, no, it's Shadow Trackers.
Yeah. Hunter, Paige Lockhart
I'm
and
sorry,
Zach James.
Hunter is a really
Hunter
sexy
is from
fucking
Clever
name.
Man, which I've also wanted to watch, by the way.
That's a great show.
Yeah.
Show me him.
Oh, I don't know. No, Josie, I don't have pictures.
Oh, I thought you
found always
them.
Ask me for things that, like, are so hard
I'm
to get.
Sorry. I thought you Googled them.
Did.
I think I know who he is.
Well, anyway, the point being, if you guys know them, yeah. by all means, tell them that all Aussie Mystery, I want to have them on for a Mystery Minutes chat.
Fuck yes.
But we're trying via SBS as well, obviously.
Yeah, we can actually try through the official channels to get Zach and Hunter on the show.
We're obsessed with them. Haven't even watched their show. Obsessed. Doesn't matter. So let's talk about the bunyip, though. Okay, so a bunyip is an inverted commas mythical creature from Australian Aboriginal mythology.
So absolutely real creature. So
absolutely
That's
real
what
creature.
That means.
Is what that means. They inhabit swamps, creeks, billabongs, which are kind of like the edges, like the ends of rivers that peter out, which I learnt today.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, neither did I. Riverbeds and water holes. So the origin of the word can be traced back to the Wemba Wemba or Wagaya language of Aboriginal people of Victoria in southeastern Australia. But the actual name for the creature varies between different Aboriginal groups. And there's actually a bunyip-like creature known to heaps of different ones around Australia. So,
right.
In his 2001 book, writer Robert Holden identified at least 9 regional variations of the creature known as the bunyip across the country. So there's, yeah, it doesn't really, that's just where the name came from.
Right.
It's usually translated by Aboriginal Australians today as devil or evil spirit.
Mm.
It's thought to have first appeared in print in English around the mid-1840s. And bunyips, they generally stick to their homes, emerging at night with terrifying cries and blood-curdling screams.
No.
Yay!
Taking us back to the Wilga nice waterhole.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So basically, to inform anyone who is listening to this for the first time and hasn't listened to our other episodes... If you listen to Wilga Waterhole from season 1, we talk extensively about the bunyip because the bunyip is thought to be behind the mystery around that waterhole.
Yes. That was the first time we heard about what a bunyip was.
Yes. And it was really terrifying.
It was the first taste of it. And it was not what I pictured.
More on that in a minute. But yeah, so what surprised me was that they don't, like, come after you, bunyips. So they like to stick to their homes, and their homes are obviously these water holes and the surrounds.
Mm-hmm.
And they emerge at night, and they do these terrifying cries and blood-curdling screams, which is just hell.
No, I never want to hear that in my
and
life.
And they – so bunyips will surprise you.
Oh, so you'll be walking
– Yeah.
Minding your own business at night near a water hole.
Yes, because that's what you do.
What the fuck are you doing? First, A, why are you doing that? And B – Don't. And then it will just scream?
No.
Right.
So the screaming is just like a fun noise that it makes just for fun.
Yeah.
At all times. Mm-hmm. But at all times of night. But more in the sense that like you could be minding your own business, walking your water hole.
Yeah.
Which P.S. don't do that at night. What are you doing?
It's
don't.
A stupid idea.
And then it will creep up on you and eat you.
Oh, right. So then it will eat you.
Yeah. So Bill Wannan in Australian folklore said that some Aborigines told him that the, quote, bunyips devoured humans, coming up on them in silence and when least expected. Do you know, if you're going to go by way of a bunyip or monster, best to have it just happen.
Yeah. I'd rather it just...
It's done.
You know how people get attacked by sharks?
Yes.
And it's like, oh, my God, my leg. And now I have to somehow get to the shore and I'm bleeding and it's chasing me and I'm going to bleed out. And this is horrible. Sometimes people just get bitten in half by a shark. I'd much prefer that.
I would really like to just die instantly.
Yeah, just bite me straight in half, to bisect me. That's
Don't,
fine.
You think that then you'd be alive for quite a long time without your legs?
Nah.
Just rip my head off.
Yes.
That's a good time.
Or go straight for like that. Artery where you bleed out in 2 seconds.
What's that one?
The femoral in your leg.
What? I didn't know that.
Yeah, there's one in your like inner
thigh. A lot of things.
And there's one in your jugular.
Yeah, so you like just get me real quick.
Is it carotid artery?
That sounds right, but I don't know.
I don't know.
The point being, kill me quick.
Bite my head off.
Come up behind me and just consume me whole. But at the same time, crush my head so I don't know what's happening.
Like, or
I
want it to knock me out quick. With a rock as I go down.
Squash my head between your teeth, then consume me whole.
Yeah.
But suddenly, behind me, like this guy. So you basically have to make a bunyip eat you, is what I'm saying to you.
Mm-hmm.
Because you've got to kind of get in their zone, in their area, at night.
Yeah.
When they're awake.
And they're like keen.
DTE down to E. Humans. Not down to fuck, but they're probably down to fuck as well. Like, basically, they're having a good time. They're up, and then they see you walking past at like 1 a.m.
Yes.
Which is your own fault
again,
for being there.
Hate to victim blame, but what the fuck are you
I'm
doing?
I'm victim blaming someone
what
walking
are you
past
doing?
A fucking waterhole at 1 a.m.
You're an idiot.
Sorry. and then they have to be wanting to eat you, mm-hmm. and then they have to sneak up behind you.
Yeah.
And consume you whole while hopefully crushing your head between their teeth first, you know?
Yes.
But then there's also, I guess, the case of like, what if you don't know that that's their waterhole? Also, do you want to know a fun fact?
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, they prefer to eat women.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah,
oh,
they
wait.
Fucking, no.
Wait, no.
No.
Why are we proud?
I got confused there. I was like, yeah, women.
I was
woo!
Like, women's rights, he for she.
No.
No.
Not this time. So in terms of what they look like, because we've gone over this is going to take a fucking long time.
Can we just skip this part, please?
It's like the bulk of my thing.
I'd rather just think that they're cute, which I used to think.
Yeah, that's like yaoi's. I just thought they all looked the same, like little happy men, and they're not.
Little
happy chocolate men. So it's quite confusing, though, actually, to pinpoint, if you will, what a bunyip looks like. But, you know, generally, they look bad. They're not good.
That's the consensus.
They are bad. They're little evil demon spawn that you don't want to come across. So early Aboriginal drawings had them with a horse-like tail. Flippers,
no,
walrus-like tusks or horns, and then they were described as being either feathered or scaly like crocodiles or both. At the same time, because they can, because the bunyip can.
I just don't understand that.
Neither.
Like, why would, if you believe in God, creating all creatures?
Yes.
What the fuck was he doing that day?
Why?
Acid?
Are they
He was
here?
Injecting bongs when he made this creature.
He was.
I'm just going to put some... flippers and a horse tail and just fucking
anything
feathers.
I want. Really.
It's like a little kid invented the bunyip.
That is literally what it's like, though. It's like a drawing that a little kid did.
I hate it so much.
So sometimes they're drawn as enormous, and other times they're the size of a large dog. So there's that as well. I think I could handle it if it looked like a large dog.
Yeah, probably couldn't devour you entirely.
No, I don't think I could handle it actually. Like, if I think of a large dog.
Like a Great Dane is a large dog.
Coming at me, but it looks like this sort of.
Yeah, with flippers.
Ungodly, meshed up creature. I am going to scream
it
and vomit at the same time. Yes.
But how big are the enormous ones? Like, as big as a tree?
I mean.
Bigger than a man?
I think we're going to get there. To be fair, I can't remember what I've written anymore. So I'm learning as you do.
Okay.
We're all learning here, guys.
We're all learning here together. All Aussie learning hour.
According to some, the bunyip looked like an oversized snake with a beard and a mane. So very luscious locks.
Like a lion.
It's sort of like a snake. Hairdo. And then it's like, I am a snake, but I use a lot of Clairol.
Yes.
And I'm just
He's just
really,
been to the salon. And
I've
he's
been
all
to
like,
the salon to light my layers.
Like Jonathan Van Ness.
Yes.
Just like
I'm
that long,
Jonathan
luscious
Van
hair.
Ness, but a snake.
Yes.
Yeah. With a beard. With a longer beard.
It's like I told you Arj Barker said about snakes.
Yes.
They're just a neck with a fucking face.
Oh, that is 1,000,000% true. Like snakes
this
are
is
so
a neck.
Abominable. Like
they are.
You should not
I
be.
I love them actually.
You should not be one big muscle.
It's
not
the way
right.
they move is so creepy but so fascinating to me. How do they move with no limbs?
Because they're
make one
any sense.
Big limb.
That's what I mean. You're one big muscle. And it's like.
They're ungodly.
You shouldn't be able to be what you are. No. Stop.
Stop.
If
being
I saw a snake, I would be like, stop being.
Stop
there.
Stop being.
Now. Stop being.
So this is a neck with a fucking face, with a fucking beard
with
and a
beard
fucking
and a,
mane.
And a luscious mane of hair. Yes. also. A huge furry half-human beast with a long neck and a bird-like head. But that reminds me of the yaoi.
Yes.
So I think that is a confusion. Right. There is a lot of crossover with the bunyip and the yaoi.
Yeah.
There was a lot of descriptions around of like people saying that people get yaois confused for bunyips, which I don't really understand. But I guess it's because the bunyip as a creature has never been, it's never been nailed down what it looks like. Whereas with the yaoi,
yeah,
there's
the
a pretty, it's a huge
feet.
Man with the backwards feet and the dragging arms,
and furry,
tiny head,
yeah.
furry.
Large erect penis.
Yeah, no.
Glistening in
no.
the sun.
Oh
no,
oh my God. No.
That was just that,
that was one story and you've held on to that for so long. I can't. Anyway, then other times it's been reported to have a long body and a horse-shaped head.
No.
No. All of these are no. George French Angus, and I've written some guy because I don't know who he is.
You don't know where you got this. Who is George he? French Angus.
Whoever you are. He wrote about a water spirit that the Murundi people talked to him about that was in the Murray River in 1847. And he said the creature is, quote, much dreaded by them. It inhabits the Murray, but they have some difficulty describing it. Its most usual form is said to be that of an enormous starfish. I don't even know anymore. Like, it's so many descriptions of this animal.
I was scared of all of those descriptors until enormous starfish.
Oh, so you want an enormous starfish to just, like, waddle out of the water and hug you with its suction hands.
No, okay.
And then just, like, swallow you with its
mouth. I'm picturing Patrick from SpongeBob. Yeah. I just can't be scared of that.
I imagine that's where your head was going.
He's so silly.
He is so
friendly.
Silly and cute. He'd hug you, but nice.
Yeah.
So some features from 19th century newspaper accounts were, because, like, you know, you got to remember that because it's Aboriginal mythology, mm-hmm. it's all oral history. Mm-hmm. So it's not, a lot of this isn't written down.
Yeah.
It's, they're kind of going off rock paintings.
Yes. Yeah.
And there's only been a few of those of the Bunyip plus stories from people. So in terms of actual hard evidence, inverted commas, that we have, it's kind of these newspaper accounts from the early, like from the mid 1800s.
Right.
So they talk of all sorts of things: a dog-like face, a crocodile-like head, dark fur, a horse-like tail, flippers, walrus tusks, horns, duck-like bill. Like, it's it is a smorgasbord of body parts of animals, is what I'm saying here.
Just tossed into
it's
a
like,
bowl.
It's like God.
Yeah.
Was a bit unwell on the day he made the bunyip. Like, and he just had a little vomit.
Yeah.
And the vomit was just bits of other animals and they just sort of meshed together.
And became the bunyip.
And then he was like, get out of my sight, get in the Murray River and don't speak to me ever again.
Go and hide in a water hole.
You know that don't speak to me or my son ever again? It's like, don't speak to me, son.
Oh, because we're all God's children.
Deep.
And what I was going to say was...
What were you going to say?
Because it's being passed down, a bit of non-denominational whispers going on.
Oh, yes.
Where you're missing...
Oh, 100... Details. I'm so fascinated by Indigenous oral history because that is the form of history of... And that's why actually the Shadow Trackers guy, which I'm going to get to later, but he talked a bit about how... His uncle actually, I think, said he interviews his uncle with something to do with this that I'm not going to spoil.
Okay.
But I'm also going to forget about this point, so I'm going to talk to you about it now.
Yep.
And his uncle's like, it's really important for me to tell these stories because otherwise everyone will die and they won't be there. And that's what they're having problems with now because of, you know, Indigenous displacement, obviously just generally modern life, you know, is that there's this like urgency to like make sure these stories are passed down because it's oral history, it's not written
the
history.
The traditional stories.
So like we have like, you know, this 18th century person writing this shit down. It doesn't work that way in their culture. So it's interesting.
Yeah.
But yeah. So again, Shadow Trackers, call us. Love you.
We love you, Zach and Channing.
Hunter. where was I up to? What was I talking? Oh yeah, I was talking about God vomiting shit everywhere. Yep. So in the Wagga Advocate in 1872, they described one as, quote, half as long as a retriever dog. Its body was jet black. I'm going to say that's a seal.
That sounds cute
to me. It's a fucking seal.
I love seals.
We're going to get to seals later. But that's a fucking seal. Yes, we are.
Oh, I love seals so much.
And then W. Westgarth, some guy.
Someone.
Some guy, 1848, described it as having a round head, an elongated neck with a tail and body resembling an ox, which is just hell.
A round
head.
I was picturing a seal until you said a body like an ox.
Yeah, no. So this is a big muscly thing.
Ooh,
big muscly fucker.
I hate the round head. That's so weird.
Don't have a round head.
That's really weird.
Why have you got a round head?
It's like,
and how round are we talking here?
A seal's head on a cow's body.
It's like a giant fucking seal.
With four legs.
Not flippers. I don't like it.
No.
He did two and they were 30 years apart and I don't really understand if it's the same one or different.
Right.
But his later quote was that it was bigger than an elephant. In a shape like a poly bullock.
What?
Bullock.
What's that?
You know, they're like basically like a cow, but not really. Like a buffalo kind of.
Oh, yeah.
Sort of. I'm saying this Am I confident about it? No. But I think in my head it looks like a water buffalo from the Northern Territory, which I almost hit with my car.
Oh, my God.
At night. It was just around the corner.
Why were you driving at night?
Because I had been in town and I had to get back to my not hotel, but my Airbnb that was in the country, and I had to drive for like 10 minutes in the Northern, which is like even 10 minutes is too much in the Northern Territory at night. There are animals fucking everywhere.
I hate it. Do not
drive at night in the Northern Territory. It is bad.
Or Tasmania.
Yeah. Anywhere with lots of animals, don't do it. Anyway, the point being, that's what I imagine them like. Big, muscly little fuckers.
Bigger than an elephant.
Well, no. But yes, that's what this one is.
Okay.
Did
he see one?
Well, yes. I don't know.
Am I spoiling it?
No, you're not. I just don't know.
Guys, you need to see the size of Mel's notes.
I know. They're like A2 paper. It's ridiculous. I look like a fucking, like I'm doing a preschool presentation. Yeah. I don't know because I didn't write down if he was describing one that he had seen or if it was a story he'd been told by Indigenous people from the area. Whatever. This is what it is. It is what it is.
Who cares?
Who cares? 1846, some guy, E. Lloyd,
Are these guys just standing on like soap boxes and just shouting in the street? And then someone's recorded it and put it on the internet.
If I wanted to sound really good, I'd say they were historians, but like, who fucking knows? I don't know. It's really hard, guys. You don't know how hard it is to make one of these episodes. You have to like,
yeah.
If I had the time to go to the fucking library and research in the library, like ask for these books and then read it in person.
Yeah.
Well, cool fucking story. But guess what? I have a fucking job. So I can rely on only what the internet tells me.
Remember that other podcast, I won't name it, that I was listening to and I messaged you and said, the host just said it takes like 30 hours.
Yes. And I was like, bitch, it's do like one episode. Amazing if it I'm takes like, we could 45
do,
minutes.
We could do 30 episodes in 30 hours. Challenge accepted.
Like, I like to think that we, I know people give us shit for not researching, but I actually do go beyond Wikipedia. Like, we start on Wikipedia. Unlike other
podcasts that we won't name.
Yeah. And we start there and then we move beyond that. But there's only a level that I can get to. And the level that I can get to.
Trove is that level.
Is that I don't know who W. West Garth is. And I don't know who E. Lloyd is, but I know that they said a thing that someone else deemed important.
And now you're going to repeat
it. And now I'm going to repeat it.
And put it out into the world.
Just tell everyone about it. So he said that Aborigines told him the bunyip was as tall as a gum tree, no pickaninny gum tree, big one gum tree, which is just a great statement. It wasn't some dumb shit, tiny gum tree like the normal shit that you see. It was one of those fucking huge ones.
Big daddy.
And that's very, very tall.
That's huge.
That's like huge. I don't know how many meters because I don't know how to do your meters. I don't even understand. If you said – sometimes when people are like, oh, like 5'8", I'm like, I don't know what that is. So, like centimeters, please.
Really?
What the fuck is 5'8"?
You're 5'8". Or I'm 5'8". Yeah, but like
what is that as a thing? I don't – what are you – a foot? What's a foot? Anyway, the point being, I don't know how tall a gum tree is, but I'm going to say like – a semi-trailer standing up, like a road train, but if you flipped it up and then it stayed there.
Yeah, so it's fucking big.
It's as tall as the length of a road train standing. That's what I reckon.
Wasn't the Yowie a basketballer on top of another basketballer?
Yes, and then that also confused us. What we're saying here is we don't understand what that height is, but it's big.
Like
and
a,
you should be scared.
A gum tree for all the non-Australians.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. I'm so sorry, non-Aussies.
A gum tree's tall. Moving on.
Do you know what I would say it's like for you guys?
Shit.
It might be.
I just made it fuzzy.
Oh. Do you know what I would say it might be for you guys is like, you know, like the redwoods. Have you been to the redwoods in San Fran?
No.
Oh, they're very cool. You should go. They're very tall.
I've seen them in Planet of the Apes.
That's not how tall a gum tree is. The ape lives there. Good work, Josie.
You know what? I think we can just decide that it was very tall.
Like a big tree in your neighborhood.
Yeah.
But bigger. That's what we're going with here. That's our gauge, if you will. I'm so sorry about that. What was that whole conversation? I said it was like the redwoods, but they're not because they're really, really big and it's not that big.
It was the wrong thing to compare it to.
Whatever. It's really big. Anyway, moving on. Shut up. So obviously with all these different types of like, it's got a beak. No, it's got a, like, they're just saying words. Can we just discuss that I can tell you what a bum nip looks like now? And then you'd believe me because I'm just going to say things like, oh, it's got one giant eye and one smaller eye, and then its nose is upturned, and then it's got two big front teeth, and then its jaw is like really long and hangs down, and it's got a really long pointy tongue, and then it's got like, you know, claws on its shoulders, but then also on its hands, and then it's got knives sticking out of its feet.
Yeah.
And you'd be like, yes.
Yes. I'd be like, wow.
Yes, that's scary.
Because it's like everyone's just imagining the most horrific thing they could possibly describe.
They're just putting shit together.
And just using that as the descriptor.
Exactly. Exactly. So there's researchers that think all the bunyips are describing actually more than one cryptid, which I've now learned is mythical creature.
Yes. But
because, which makes sense because they're all kind of, there's different sizes, there's different, you know, so maybe bunyip is a sort of blanket term
like
for
an
weird
umbrella
water creature.
Species term.
Yeah, because it even, I when I was researching, because I do fucking research everybody,
yeah,
I got fucking close reviewers to the Hawkesbury River monster, who
I
didn't touch because I knew that you were, because I knew that you really wanted to do it.
Yes, I will.
But the point being is that it kind of spans.
Right.
There were people that counted that as a bunyip, but
right,
I would have counted as a bunyip personally.
Okay,
because I didn't read up
like
on
it. It's like a general term for.
But the absolute best description, and I don't even know who said this, but I did mention it in Wilga Waterhole, and this is the one that scared you.
No.
Is this one for what it looks like?
This is awful.
The bunyip then is represented as uniting the characteristics of a bird and of an alligator. It has a head resembling an emu with a long bill, at the extremity of which is a transverse projection on each side with serrated edges like the bone of a stingray.
No.
The body and legs partake of the nature of the alligator. The hind legs are remarkably thick and strong, and the forelegs are much longer, but still of great strength. I don't like the visual of this.
Why are the forelegs longer?
I don't know. They just are, okay? It just likes to be like that. Likes
at
it.
A weird
let
angle.
It be. It likes it. The extremities are furnished with long claws, but the Aborigines say its usual method of killing its prey is by hugging it to death.
Like Patrick.
When in the water, it swims like a frog, and when on shore, it walks on its hind legs with its head erect, in which position it measures 12 or 13 feet in height.
That's fucking tall.
That is a bad
That's two
creature.
Basketballers on top of each other.
It is. That is. It's also, don't swim like a frog
don't.
In the water and then get out and walk on your hind legs,
don't
you piece of shit.
Don't
do
that.
That's
just
do
horrific.
Not do that. Just behave yourself. Fuck.
And don't have a head like an emu with weird spiny
serrated
knives.
A serrated little weird
when
bill.
I think serrated, I think my bread knife.
Well, it's they say it's like a stingray. Not a stingray. Fuck, no. You know that weird thing that has the like the little saw mouth? What's that thing that has a saw mouth? It's a fish and it's like weird. And I was like, that can't be real. I saw it on Blue Planet. And I was like, that's not real.
It has a saw mouth?
Yeah. And my boyfriend was like, that is real. I said, no, it's not.
Fake news media.
I said, no, it's not. Don't lie to me. It's got a little saw mouth. It's like a saw shark.
Swordfish.
Swordfish.
Is that
that's
what it
the
is?
One?
Really?
Yes.
Oh.
Swordfish, isn't it? And it's got the little serrated mouth. I'm going to Google it for you. And then I'm going to show you a picture of the bunyip.
You know how marlins have a pointy mouth?
It's not pointy, though. It's like...
And one got a guy got stabbed when he was fishing. Someone put it in the group. It was
serrated
funny.
Serrated mouth.
When
that's
animals
what I'm Googling.
Take revenge.
Images. Oh, my God. I'm seeing some... Oh, I'm seeing things I didn't want to see.
What is it?
Oh, no. Oh, it's bad. It's so bad. Don't Google serrated mouth. That's bad.
What's that?
What is that?
What the fuck,
what the fuck
that?
Is that?
The why top,
has it got...
top right.
I'll tell you. Oh, my God. What? That's geese. That's a goose's mouth.
A
no.
Goose is a demon.
Oh, my God. Geese are
they are
fucked,
demons.
Guys.
They'll
everyone,
spit at you.
Can you all stop the podcast for 5 seconds and then Google...
Serrated mouth.
Serrated mouth. And then there's this picture. Oh, no, that's the leatherback turtle. Okay.
Okay, well, that's
Google
a demon.
The leatherback turtle. It is not okay. That is – oh, my God, and geese. Oh, my God, no. Oh, my God, fuck off. Okay. We've gone down a hole. I'm so sorry you've had to listen to this, but that's okay. You like it. Just don't Google serrated mouth, but also do. There's some bad pictures.
That's the worst thing I've ever
seen. I'm upset.
That looked like...
That's not what I was talking
about.
That
looked like a butthole with teeth. That thing that you showed me.
You know that thing? There was hairy. A movie and it was like a girl and her vagina had teeth.
Yeah.
And it's like when she had sex with people that ate their dicks, yeah. Which was kind of a mood.
That's a great movie. What's it called?
I don't know, but I've never seen it. So I don't know if it's great or not. Teeth mouth? I don't know.
Teeth mouth.
Teeth mouth. Teeth vagina. Anyway, wow. So the point being, don't Google that, but I'm going to show you real quick. This is the photo. This is from, so this is hanging in a gallery somewhere in Australia, one of them.
Okay, and what's not sure what one. To be?
And no one knows who drew it, but it's meant to be a bunyip. It's from the 30s.
What the fuck is that? I know. That?
It's so bad.
That looks like a squid mated with an emu. And like.
Obviously, we're going to put these photos
lump
in the group,
on
guys.
Its ass?
I don't know.
That looks like a squid.
Just let it have the lump on its ass. Just let it have it.
I don't
it
like
wants,
that.
It wants it. So sightings. Let's go down the sightings route. So in 1818, Hamilton Hume, some guy, James Meehan, some other guy,
yep.
Find large bones at Lake Bathurst in New South Wales.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't call the animal a bunyip. They actually describe the remains like a hippopotamus or a manatee.
Doll, we don't have them in Australia.
I know. So the Philosophical Society of Australasia later told Hume they'd give him money to reimburse him if he went back to recover these bones.
So they just saw them and they just moved on with their lives.
And they were like, that looks like a hippopotamus, and then went back and told everyone.
Yeah. Stood on the soapbox in the street and yelled it for everyone to hear.
But he never returned to the lake.
So he didn't want to go back?
No. But like, why?
At 1 a.m. specifically.
So then in 1830.
He was scared. That's
yeah.
What he
well,
was.
That was the first. That's the first reported.
I mean, no judgment. I wouldn't go back either.
Oh, fuck no.
But also, he was
also
fucking
it's 1818. Scared. Like, you'd have to fucking horse ride back there.
It would take forever.
Guys, it's not
convenient.
It's not easy to do. He has
can't
a life.
Just jump in the Corolla and drive out there.
And where are you going to put the bones when you get them?
Yeah.
What? On
drag
your
them behind you in a hessian sack.
It's very. I don't like
take
that.
A wagon?
Maybe. Do they have wagons?
Hmm.
Yeah.
They'd have wagons. I'm sure of it.
A little wagon with a little horse on the front. Anyway, well, he didn't do it.
He didn't because he was scared.
He was a scaredy cat. So then in 1830, fossilised bones were discovered in Wellington Caves that are up near Dubbo.
Yes.
By bushman George Rankin.
My friend
Rankin.
Bree is from Dubbo.
Ah.
Shout out to Bree, friend of the
Shout
podcast.
Shout out to Bree. Some quadrupled much larger than the ox or buffalo, he said. So that's big.
But couldn't it have been a dinosaur?
Josie.
It was fossilised.
You're jumping ahead.
Oh, sorry. Sorry.
Oh, my God.
Sorry that I'm so intelligent and logical. I can't help it.
Sorry that I'm so smart and I just know what you're going to say. So there's that. That's 1830.
Okay.
Reverend George Taplin, who are these people? Now that
boxes.
I'm doing this podcast, I'm like, I would like to know a little bit more about these people.
Why they're talking so
much. And why have I just decided that what they have to say is important? I'll tell you why, because Wikipedia told me. So.
Right.
He said in his book, The Narinieri, from 1894, he described booming and explosive sounds from Lake Alexandrina, which is down at the very bottom of South Australia near Kangaroo Island,
mm-hmm.
Which he was told were bunyips.
Booming sounds?
Yeah.
Explosive.
Booming, explosive sounds coming from the lake, yes.
What were they doing?
Well, we
Bombs?
Don't know.
They were jumping in to a cannonball.
It's like it's a bunyip. Just someone farting underwater.
But like a big bunyip
like
farting underwater.
A really big fart. Underwater.
Yeah.
I don't know why we got to farts. Anyway, Hobart's Mercury newspaper on the 11th of February 1935 had an eyewitness statement about a bunyip and said, quote, neither dog, seal, hyena, nor Tasmanian devil, about the size of a cocker spaniel dog, brindle in colour, with hair so fine that at first it looked as though it had none. The face resembled that of a ferocious dog, but there were two prominent tusks protruding from its bottom jaw. Honey, I just want to say that I think that is a dog.
I think it's a Tasmanian tiger.
Teeth, and its teeth are just really big and it had them out and you just got it scared.
Yeah. You know? Or it was like a wild pig.
It's like she's basically saying it looked like a dog, but it wasn't a dog.
But I swear but everything to you, it about wasn't.
It was a dog.
But here are all the descriptors which exactly match my pet Cocker Spaniel with his teeth bared.
It was not my pet Cocker Spaniel.
It wasn't.
Had I had 40 bottles of rum that night, that's irrelevant.
Maybe,
that's not important,
but also,
officer.
No.
It's not important, that fact.
It's not important.
Is it important that I had a lot of alcohol tonight? No. Is it important that my dog is missing? No. I'm getting my lawyer on the phone.
I'm
going to send a mail to my lawyer. And in a week, we're going to revisit this.
It's just like. Meanwhile, her dog's just at the door like, let me back in. Dog's like,
please. I've lost a lot of my fur from stress. Please let me back in.
Poor, bald Cocker Spaniel.
Oh, my God. Aww. With its little teethies out. Oh, shit. So the Register News pictorial, I don't even know where that's from, 19th of September 1929, had a story about an attack on a dog in Cooper's Creek, which is way out near Innaminka in South Australia, which is like top right corner. Mm-hmm. Really hard to get to now unless you have a four wheel drive, just letting you know. Bit of trivia facts
Can
there.
I say geographical Mel is on point in this episode. I can picture Googled. Where everything is. I
fucking Googled.
Top
all
right
of
corner, the, bang.
Yeah, like. I know. That's because I'm covering up for the fact that I don't even know what this newspaper is.
Pictorial.
Or where this information
Pictorial
came from.
Sounds like it was a smutty magazine. Like there were does. Girls with like the strap of their camisole coming down.
Like one leg lifted, a little bit of ankle showing.
Her ankles showing. And all the men were like, oh, hello. Don't show that to the wife.
Keep that in the bathroom. Anyway, this is a quote from the Register News pictorial.
The smart magazine.
About this attack on a dog. Quote, we rode over to a large waterhole and the two dogs went for a swim. Almost immediately, one of the dogs was seized by something in the water and dragged under. A violent struggle took place under the water, which soon became stained with blood. Presently, the dog and the thing came to the surface with the dog on top. We grabbed the dog and hauled him out. He was badly cut in the neck and behind the shoulder. All we saw of the thing, which disappeared quickly, was what appeared to be part of its body, a light brown, smooth surface, much like the saddle flap in appearance.
That was an alligator.
Crocodile. Saddle flap is very smooth.
It was a smooth crocodile.
Crocodile that just didn't have many.
Yeah.
Also, I don't think they have crocs in Innaminka. I'm just going to say we're pretty far down.
A big fish with a sore mouth.
This is what?
A swordfish.
Oh. But I don't think they live there. I think they live in the ocean.
So what kind of animals are living in Innaminka?
A bunyip.
Okay.
A bunyip was living there. God,
wouldn't
being
it
so
just,
cynical.
Wouldn't it have just killed the dog? Like, how did the dog survive?
I don't know if the dog did survive. It sounds bad.
Yeah.
I hope he did. Little doggy. I do not like when the dog dies, as you know.
Neither does Keanu Reeves.
No, neither does Keanu Reeves. That is a reference to John Wick, everyone that hasn't watched it. We're not even advertising it. We're just telling you because we like it. Windsor and Richmond Gazette said in January 1927, yes, that there was a bunyip living in a swamp near Robertson in the Southern Highlands, which may have been responsible for the unexplained disappearance of a stranger. Quote, a party of men who lived by means of their skill went out shooting. Mm-hmm. They returned terrified and related that they came upon the thing basking in the sun on the side of a hole supposed to be bottomless, situated about the center of the swamp. And at their approach, the creature, which they stated to approximate the size of a two-year-old steer, so like a horsey thing.
Yep.
And which appeared to possess two short broad fins or flippers and in color was a dirty white or very light gray, took fright and plunged into the hole. I just don't want to see that. So I don't want to see a big white whale.
Sunbaking.
And then it gets scared and runs away. I don't want to do it. So
that sounds
I'm
horrible.
Sorry that they had to see
in
it.
In a swamp.
Well, in a swamp, yeah. So I don't even know if I'm jumping ahead here, but a lot of the places around the country now that have stories about bunyips, there's this belief that the lakes connect up underneath the ground. What? So it's kind of, well, that does happen because it's like water and shit. Yeah. Like, you know, it's like you can dig and then there's water and stuff. So sometimes yes. there can be connecting water sources. And so it's like the idea oh is God. That the bunyips live deep down and then come back up. And go
through
up.
Those like connecting yeah. tunnels.
Yeah, exactly. And then that could be also how they get from other places. And, yeah. You know, I don't know. Anyway, that's kind of irrelevant, but not really. So another place that has a lot of bunyip sightings is Geelong. Not but wait, Geelong.
Didn't someone go missing?
Well, I don't know.
I was waiting for someone to be seized. Oh, I
did
too,
but it didn't really get there, did it?
Well, it's pretend what happens
when you don't read your quotes that and then when you just talk about them.
Dove into the water, he took one of the blokes with him.
Just pretend. Let's make up history here. Well, to, look, to entertain everyone our else listeners. Is
in this story.
Well, yeah.
So Geelong.
So Geelong.
One of my favorite moments of the podcast is you discovering it's Geelong. Pronounced Geelong.
Like, I say it Geelong now. That so that's
moment
good.
Of realization
was a good moment.
I've got it. I recorded it.
Aww.
And it's on my phone. And I just listen to it sometimes and laugh.
Oh, so Geelong has quite a few sightings and stories. So from Australian Yowie Research, one of my other favorite websites, a woman claimed her mother was killed by a bunyip at Barwon Lakes, and there were reports of another local woman killed at the Barwon River.
Mm-hmm.
A local Indigenous man is said to have shown deep wounds caused by a bunyip from the river area, and then there are several noted disappearances from the Lake Mondawari area. So they're all, like, the thing is, they didn't have any, like, any credits of any right. research whatsoever. Yeah. There are no facts here. We're yes. just saying shit.
It's just like, this happened. But also, no why would you it?
Say it if it didn't happen?
To scare people?
No, I don't believe it. Then there's also the Murray River. Yes. So there's actually a really cool thing in the town of Murray Bridge, which mm-hmm. is an actual town. They've got this like fun little plastic bunyip that you like press a button and it rises out of the water Fuck and scares off. Kids. Yes. Isn't that fun?
That I want to go scare do it. Me.
I know it would scare me so much.
I'd run away screaming.
Yeah. But we mentioned the Murray River before because that was one of the earlier yes. sightings, findings of the bones. So there's bunyip stories around that river, which mm-hmm. is quite a big river. So it makes sense.
Very big river.
And then Ilbogen Lagoon.
Ilbogen.
Ilbogen. Ilbogen Lagoon in Bow Desert, Queensland. The Ilbogen Lagoon is said to be linked by an underground passage, like I said, to another lagoon named Bung Ropi. The lagoon lies on the property of Bromelton House, and in 1850, the first sighting of the bunyip was reported by a woman staying at the house as a guest. So on the 9th of February 1850 in the Moreton Bay Courier, quote, the head appeared to be elongated and flattened like the bill of a platypus.
Ugh.
The body from the place where it joined the head to about 5 feet backward seemed like that of a gigantic eel,
ugh.
Being of about the ordinary thickness of a man's body.
Oh my God, that's horrible.
Beyond this, it was of much larger apparent size, having the appearance of being coiled into innumerable folds. No, don't like it.
So it was a big eel with a platypus head.
Yes. Beyond these coils was what seemed to be the tail of the animal, which had somewhat in the shape of the tail of a fish and is described as having the semi-transparent appearance of a bladder.
What?
The head, which was small and narrow in proportion to the size of the body, was furnished with what seemed to be two horns,
no.
which were quite white. Under the circumstances, it was, of course, difficult to judge accurately the whole length of the animal. But by comparison, she was running
and screaming.
Because I was screaming and vomiting into the grass. But by comparison with other objects, it is supposed that the parts visible above the water must have been 30 feet in extent.
Oh, yeah. That's long.
That's big. Yeah, I would be throwing things at that thing. So I'd be throwing my like handbag at it.
Yes.
Just throwing shit. Yes. Take everything.
She would have been like a fancy old timey lady too.
Yeah. She would have been throwing her like umbrella.
Yeah.
Throw and, her like, child her large in the water.
Yeah. Throw your horse at it. Didn't we say that once?
Yes, we did. When in doubt, throw your horse
when
at it.
When in doubt, throw your horse at it.
So the paper actually went on to explain that plenty of people at the station had spotted the bunyip over the years. So like lots of station hands and so on. And then in 1927, the Brisbane Courier referenced an incident when a huge serpent-like water monster was alleged to have been seen by a party of bathers at that same spot.
Same place. Mm-hmm.
Their story was later corroborated by the by the Munnunjali people, who describe the creature as a big fella bunyip, which is really just saying it.
Yeah.
Quote, firm in their belief that the lagoon was haunted, the Aboriginals were loath to approach its precincts for a considerable period thereafter. In fact, the alleged presence of the monster had the effect of dampening the ardour of all who were in the habit of enjoying a customary weekend dip. Well, no shit. I'm not swimming when there's this giant eel with a bladder bit that looks like a clear, like a bladder, and it's got horns that are white and it's like all and weird and sleek.
Face.
And it's like 30 feet. Fuck that. I am going to go swim in this weird bog that I've dug over in the corner and just put some water in. That's what I'm doing.
The hose.
Oh, my God. It's like, have you seen, oh, my God, it's one of my favorite movies. Everyone go watch it. How to Make an American Quilt.
Yes.
Oh, I love that movie so much.
Oh, my God.
It's the stalest movie.
It's a deep cut.
It's a deep cut. Deep. Oh, fuck, it's good. And she makes the, like, her husband digs her the, like, pond to swim in, but it's, like, very small. And then
small.
She sort of gets in it. Up to her legs and gets all these papers out as an old person, and she remembers her husband of oldie times. It's beautiful.
It'd be filled with like mosquito larvae and stuff.
But I would do that over swimming in this lake with this bunyip. Thank you very much.
I'd roll around in mosquito stuff.
There is apparently a video from more recent times, from 2016.
Wow, we're jumping quite to modern times.
I know. So Mysterious Universe mentioned this video, but then when I clicked on the link, it was broken. So I was like,
Government cover up.
Government cover up for sure.
Pine Gap.
There's not much information on it, but they said that it was allegedly shot in Western Australia in the outback, and the barely visible creature swimming in the water had allegedly eaten a horse.
What the actual shit?
I know. So basically what I'm saying here is the findings are always around water.
Yes.
But they kind of don't, there's no specific area. You know how with Yowies it was kind of like that Northern Rivers area and it was very like hinterlandy?
Mm-hmm.
This is kind of like just anywhere. Just
wherever there's water.
Yeah.
We're there scaring the fuck out of everyone.
Yes, exactly.
And like, looking like a freak.
And it's not water that's like connected to anything in particular. Like the Wilga waterhole was smack bang in the middle of nowhere.
Yep.
Obviously the Murray River is very long and big.
Mm-hmm.
And then these other ones that connect underwater. But then there's just the these swamp places.
In Robertson, the Geelong ones.
Yep.
Oh God, I hate it.
They seem less like tied to a specific climate or area.
Yep. They're just keen to be near the water.
Yeah. So let's move on to theories.
Okay.
So there are a lot of theories to explain these away. And look, when you get to the end of it, I am doubtful. I love to believe in the bunyip, but it's not as convincing as the Yowie to me. You know?
Okay.
So the first is lost seals.
Oh, bubbers.
Yeah. So in 1933, some guy, Charles Fenner.
Yep.
Said the actual origin of the bunyip myth lies in the fact that from time to time seals have made their way up the Murray and Darling rivers, which would make sense to me. Like, you're a lost seal, and if people haven't seen a seal before,
they'd be like, "What is that overgrown slug with whiskers?"
Slug, yeah, exactly. That's a perfect example.
I love them. I think they're adorable.
They're so cute. I can't believe you hate whales, but you love seals.
Whales are fucking horrific demon blobs. Seals are so cute. They're like dogs.
Yeah, okay. What about leopard seals? They're scary.
No, I love them all.
Leopard seals, the ones that like eat people in fucking Happy Feet.
Just bite me in half. I don't care.
You can eat
seals,
my foot off.
Seals do go wandering. So this stands up, this theory. Remember the one that wandered into town in Tasmania and like was on the top of the car?
Yeah.
It was just like sitting on top of like a fucking Holden Commodore in a driveway. Like, what?
Hello.
Bless him.
Charles Fenner, gave examples of seals found as far inland as Overland Corner, Loxton and Cunargo, and reminded readers that, quote, the smooth fur, prominent apricot eyes, and the bellowing cry are characteristic of the seal, especially the southern elephant seals and leopard seals.
Yes. So
there's a lot matching up for them. And I think definitely going back to our, like some of our sightings and descriptions, there were definitely a few times there where we were like, that's a fucking seal. So I think definitely at least some of the sightings were seals.
I just wonder why an adorable seal doesn't wander into my building.
It's very unfair.
I would like to see one. Maybe it did. Maybe that's the thing that shat in my lobby.
Maybe.
You never know.
It's very rude for it not to,
to
be honest.
I'm jealous of everyone that comes upon a seal out of context.
Yes. Out of context seals are so good.
That's so
like
funny.
That one that swims around in Sydney Harbour and like showed up at the Opera House.
Hangs up, what's his name? Stanley?
Yeah. I don't know, his name's Stanley. Maybe.
He sits on the steps.
Mm.
I think he might have died.
The Rushcutters Bay one died and it was very sad and depressing.
Okay.
So there was also a report in Brisbane's Worker from the 19th of January, 1907 that I didn't include with the others because this is 100% a seal.
Okay.
A strange creature which has a cry like a seal and very much resembles this well-known amphibious specimen about the head has been seen in a lagoon in Tumut, New South Wales, or Tumut, don't know. The tail is described as being that of a kangaroo running from a fair thickness at the root to a taper at the point, but like maybe it didn't.
But the bunyip,
as the residents call it, swims rapidly as it glides along, keeping its head above the water like seals do.
Mm-hmm.
Its length from the tip of its nose to the extremity of its tail has been set at about 4 feet, mm-hmm. and the colour of the creature is reputed to be black. The animal does not appear to have ears, but if it does, they're very small.
Guys, like, that's a seal. That's a
fucking seal, and you just got confused about the tail. It's probably just like pooing.
Yeah.
And you decided that long poo was, you know, and fish poo, and then they like have the poo just hanging out of long, its butt.
Like, hose-like.
It bothered me so much as a kid because I had fish.
Yeah.
And they used to poo and it would just like trail around with them for so long. And it's like,
that's what my cat does throughout the house. just snap it off.
Just get rid of it. So that's one theory.
Yep.
Another theory is weird extinct animal memories, is what I wrote. So there's this theory that it's a cultural memory of extinct Australian marsupials like the Diprotodon.
Oh, God.
The Zygomaturus.
Yes.
The Nototherium and the Palorchestes. I don't know any of them, but I did Google some of them.
I know about the Diprotodont.
I do too, and I'm going to tell you about it.
We learn about it at school.
We can talk at length about it. So the connection was formally made by Dr. George Bennett of the Australian Museum in 1871.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of the Australian Museum, there is a Diprotodon there. Because as soon as I Googled it, I was like, oh, that big fuck off thing that is like in that bit with all the old animals and it looks really terrifying.
Yes.
So I don't know if you've been to the Australian Museum, but if you have, you 1,000,000% remember this. It looks like a huge bear thing. But it's got like tusks sort of thing. So it's like a huge rhinoceros without the big horn on it.
Yeah.
And it's all hairy.
Mm-hmm.
It's the largest known marsupial to have ever lived,
mm-hmm.
and it went extinct about 46,000 years ago.
Which isn't that long ago.
No, it's not. And so,
in the big scheme of things.
Yeah, and there's been a lot of research into some of this stuff. So in the 1990s, paleontologist Pat Vickers-Rich and geologist Neil Archbold also kind of suggested that Aboriginal legends perhaps had stemmed from an acquaintance with prehistoric bones or even living prehistoric animals themselves. Mm. So they're gently suggesting it because they obviously don't want to tread on the toes of like the cultural history because there's no Indigenous person that would be like, yes, this is just some other animal. Like it's very much like, it is a bunyip, end of story. But Pat wrote a book with either her husband or brother, not sure, Tom Rich, called Catimacara, Extinct Vertebrates of Australia, and said, quote, when shown bones of these extinct animals, Aborigines at times have frequently identified them as bones of the bunyip. And then Dr. Tom Rich said, on the basis of carbon-14 radiometric dates, whatever that means, it appears that humans were in Australia at least 10 to 15,000 years before the Diprotodon became extinct.
Right.
So there is this definite correlation.
Seen each other.
That the first peoples of Australia saw those now extinct ants, fuckers.
Yep. And would have passed those stories down.
Yes, exactly.
Their oral history.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so it's very, like that could be where we get the kind of concept from. The next theory is the cassowary.
Wait, can I just say one thing?
I would love you to say
when you were talking about the big serpent with the platypus face.
Yes.
There's a lot of times where I'm like, oh, cute a wombat, oh, cute a platypus. And then the little information sign at the wildlife park or whatever says, in prehistoric times, there were giant wombats and giant platypus.
Yes.
They're like big fucking platypi in these watering holes.
Yes.
They found the bones of. So one of those things you listed is probably the large platypus.
Well, all of those look kind of the same.
Oh, right.
They're all very big, but they look quite a lot like wombats. And there was actually somewhere that I read that the Diprotodon – it could be a relative of the wombat. It's essentially like a huge wombat.
Yeah.
And you would never want to come across
a huge...
I don't even like coming across wombats at night on their own. I've told this story already before. about going on my walk with my ex, and then I saw wombat and screamed and freaked the fuck out because it was just like there.
They're so cute.
They're very cute, but they're like a big one. No, thank you.
And they can run very fast.
They can.
And knock you over.
And they're very loud when they run.
They're so cute. I'm obsessed with wombats.
They're pretty cute. But anyway, so the next thing is the cassowary. So in 2017, in an Australian BirdLife article, great. Mm-hmm. That sounds like a real, like, fucking good time of a magazine, doesn't
you
it?
You hate birds.
I'm being sarcastic.
Oh, I'm, like, fascinated. Cassowaries are... Remember the story about the cassowary in Florida?
No.
That killed its owner recently?
No.
Mm.
Tell everyone.
It was a cassowary in Florida that killed its owner.
Shit.
That's all I know.
Why is there a cassowary in Florida?
Well, it was illegally there. Okay. It was like, you know how the illegal animal trade is like the biggest thing in the world.
Yeah.
And we don't know about it because we're like upstanding citizens that would never smuggle fucking snakes in our pants onto a plane.
Mm-hmm.
So someone had an illegal cassowary and it like killed him.
Shit.
And then it was for sale recently.
Oh, my God.
And I think... we wrote about it, a pedestrian. The fact that the killer bird was on sale.
My God.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, cassowaries are a bit scary.
Demon creatures. Yeah,
they're pretty scary. I didn't see any when I was up in the, like, Cairns area. And I really wanted to see one. But also from the safety of my car.
Yeah.
I wouldn't like to come across one in the bush.
Like, oh, there's one.
No, thanks. Yeah. So in that article, Carl Brandt suggested Aboriginal encounters with the southern cassowary inspired... the bunyip.
Mm-hmm.
He said that the first written description of the bunyip from 1845 had it laying pale blue eggs of immense size with deadly claws, powerful hind legs, a brightly coloured chest and an emu-like head, which are all shared with the Australian cassowary. The mm-hmm. only thing is I have not read this bunyip description anywhere else but here.
Right.
He also said the bill was described as having serrated projections, each like the bone of the stingray.
Oh, yeah.
This bunyip was associated with the indigenous people of far north Queensland, renowned for their spears tipped with stingray barbs and their proximity to the cassowary's Australian range. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like, was it the same animal? But I don't know about that because that's the only description. Like maybe in those groups of indigenous people, that was the confusion. But yeah. I don't know about everywhere else.
Because that's the first time I've heard of a bunyip laying blue eggs.
I know. So then there's also another bird that gets mentioned as a theory.
Are you going to play it screaming?
I'm fucking playing some noise. Yes, I am. So this is the Australasian bittern.
Mm-hmm.
They dwell in marshes. They're not that big, actually. They're pretty like small to medium-sized bird.
Yep.
But during the breeding season, the male call is a low-pitched boom. And it's often called the bunyip bird.
Right.
Yeah. So the Melbourne Argus newspaper in 1894 said that the hollow boom so often heard on the margins of reedy swamps, more hollow and louder by night than day, the mythical bunyip is the actual bittern.
Okay.
So I'm going to play one for you. This is exactly like what we were doing with Wilga Waterhole because I don't believe this. I'm going to try and get it right up into my... See that weird vibrating sound? That's the noise. Ignore those other birds. They are less important.
Where's the boom?
We'll do it again.
This is like the intro song to our podcast.
It really is. Do it again, you fucking bird.
There you go.
Yeah.
Oh. Oh.
Like it's weird.
Yeah.
But that's not scaring me.
To me, I'd be like, that's an alien UFO. Sounds like metallic almost.
It almost. I thought at first it was my phone being weird, but it wasn't.
That you're getting
it's
a
definitely
text.
The bird.
It is a strange noise.
Doesn't that sound like a lovely place to be right now?
No.
Really?
Sounds
oh,
scary.
I'm more relaxed. I feel like I'm doing some meditation and I'm like down by the lake. Anyway, we can stop that now. That's enough. That's enough bittern
but
noises.
But it's like...
It's like... Boo. Boo. And it's almost vibrating.
Maybe that's what... In that South Australian place where they heard the booms.
That's... Yes. Well, this is... Yeah. Anywhere where there's a boom mention,
mm-hmm.
I think what they're trying to say is it's the bittern, not the bunyip.
Yeah.
But I get it, because remember when we did Wilga Waterhole, and I think you said this to me, and you were like, at night, everything sounds scarier.
Yes.
So potentially if you didn't know back in the day,
you know,
you're sort of scared of everything. Like, I read a report that was from like an 1890 newspaper. I didn't include it because I would have had to write it out, and that was like, I was too lazy to do that.
Oh, but yeah. I hate those ones where you can't cut and paste.
It wasn't important enough, and I was like, no. So, but it was basically talking about all the weird animals here, and it was like, you know, these things that bounce on their tail and they have funny legs, and it would have been so scary for British people. They would have been like, what are these cursed weird things?
Creatures.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck is a kangaroo?
Well, and a platypus. And they're a platypus. All weird.
They're all demon animals. They don't make any sense. I love them so much.
I love them. I'm so proud of them. Kangaroos. But
I love Australian animals.
I love Australian animals. But
do you know what I haven't seen in the wild is a platypus. And I'm dying to see one.
But I haven't seen an echidna, so there you go.
I saw so many last time I was in Tassie.
So the platypus I saw, you had to wait for ages. I was in Queensland. I went on a little bushwalk.
Yep.
And then you had to wait for ages. Mm. And you can see the bubbles coming up. And then you wait, and eventually they come up and they just like float on the top for a minute.
Oh my God.
And then they see you and freak out and go back down.
That's what I need. I found a helpful guide on Facebook recently. There was all the places in Tassie to see one.
Yeah.
Like where they hang out. But I'm not going there. I was like, but now I'm not. So
I was like, and?
I was going to make Julian take me to every single place.
Yeah.
Because it was my mission. Our first trip was wombats. Our second one was echidnas.
Yeah.
Now, platypus.
Platypus. So the last theory is wasted station hands, as in drunk people.
Right.
So this is just a one-off thing, but basically Bill Wannon, don't know who that is.
He's from an earlier anecdote.
Great. It's good that you know. Said that bushmen and their tales suggest that bunyips are usually seen in swamps near bush shanties, but they are never seen by men going to the shanties, only by men on their way home.
Right, stumbling around.
Stumbling on their way home. And if anyone, I mean, you wouldn't know this because unless you came to the live show, but Fitch's ghost, one of the theories, which was my case from the live show, one of the theories was that the guy that saw Fitch's ghost was just this drunk guy on his way home from the pub.
Seeing things.
So, I mean, and I get that. Like, maybe to put it all together, is it drunk people often seeing the bunyip? And it's actually, or hearing it, and it's actually the bittern, or it's
seeing a seal,
or just anything really.
Yeah. Seeing Mavis's cocker spaniel, her bald cocker spaniel.
Just anything. Yeah. Like a lump of grass.
Like, that's absolutely a bunyip.
That's me in a nutshell, pretty much.
That
in the
lump
bush.
Of grass is the size of a gum tree.
Yeah.
It has the head of an emu. It has the body of a T-Rex.
I saw it.
It has swords coming out of its arms. I seen it.
What do you think? Do you think they're real?
See
what I mean? How it's not as convincing as the Yowie?
The Yowie's definitely real.
Oh, 100%.
I think. I don't know, but like, why would these people say that they'd seen that?
I know, but I don't know. My thing is it because there's so many different descriptions?
Yeah.
And because
it's a bit harder to buy into.
Yeah. And then there's all these, I think all of those theories to me ring true in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
Like, definitely 100% these like extinct creatures.
Oh, Indigenous people definitely would have.
Yeah.
Come across those fucking huge wombats and platter pie and big diprotodonts.
And so is that story being passed down in oral history, creating this fear of these areas?
And then they kind of call things bunyips when they see a scary cassowary or a seal out of context.
Yeah.
But I don't know, because I like the stories that are passed along, and I don't want to be like,
well, that's
like
it.
Those researchers didn't want to shit all over those stories.
No.
With logic.
But the bunyip is a weird one anyway, because it kind of, it doesn't really have like a full proper story that has been reported on, which it may very well have. Like I said, everything's oral history, so we may just not know it.
Mm.
But even the term bunyip isn't used by every Aboriginal group, which is also, again, pretty normal because there's different languages, obviously. But there's kind of a creature in the vibe of it in all the groups. But then it's like maybe in the, you know, top end of Queensland, it is the cassowary.
Yeah.
or maybe it's not the cassowary, or maybe it's a version of the cassowary that's now extinct, or
yeah,
it's very hard to determine with that stuff.
And honestly, they just sound, when you were describing them to me, my brain couldn't even put that together.
Yeah.
Because it was just literally like pointing, throwing a pen at a room full of animals.
Yeah.
And picking a feature.
Yeah, exactly.
From each thing that you hit.
I know. It's like you'd have to draw it bit by bit. And yeah. then just hope that it came together.
And it almost sounds, although scary.
Yeah.
It's almost a bit silly. Whereas yeah. the Yowie was grounded in it having the same description everywhere, being an overgrown man with backwards feet and
yes.
long arms and yes. hairy and no neck. I'm not saying anything about the penis, but because it was, I don't know, I just felt it was more believable.
No, I 100% agree. I think that the Yowie, the consistency of sightings, and also that the sightings kind of continued beyond the 1800s
yeah.
into the 70s and all of this stuff mm. was like, okay, well, I can see how this would potentially be real, because why are all these people reporting the same thing? Whereas the fact yeah. that no one can seem to sit on a real, this is what
yeah.
a bunyip. But then do you say that the bunyip, like they said, is describing a bunch of different yeah. creatures,
and it's that maybe, umbrella term.
Maybe it's fucked. Not a species. Like Yowie is meant to have descended from an actual human species or mm-hmm. human
humanoid.
Sort of humanoid species. So is the bunyip just a term for weird water creatures?
Yeah.
That do exist.
That do exist. And because the most recent example you had was 2016, but then before that it was all like old timey.
Yeah, the latest. Whereas I think Yowie, was like the 20s.
Like you're saying, is really consistent.
Yeah.
Throughout time. This is like, you know, if you saw a seal now.
Yeah.
But if you saw a seal, like you were saying, and you lived in the outback, you'd never seen a seal.
Yeah.
And it was 1800, you'd be like, what is that cursed creature?
Yeah.
But now you'd be like, oh, a seal in the outback.
Yeah.
Like, oh, it's...
You'd be like, that's weird,
but cool. It's out of context, but that's what seals do. And yeah. then you just move on with your life.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that's why there haven't been reports, because it's just a seal out of context.
Well, another thing that I thought was...
Or a cassowary.
Like a lot of Indigenous Dreamtime stories are centered around spiritual creatures as opposed to physical creatures.
Yeah.
So it's like... Could the bunyip be a spiritual creature?
Yeah.
Which would then allow for these discrepancies, because, you know, maybe it takes on different forms.
And it's
or
more subjective to whoever is like
seeing it,
having the experience.
Yeah. That's
maybe.
Fucking creepy. Now I've scared myself yeah. again.
Now we're not leaving this room.
I liked
sleeping
that we had
tonight.
Excused it away. And now I'm like, oh
and now
shit.
It's a fucking
I'm never going
can come to
again.
You at any time.
I wanted to tell you a scary story at the end.
No.
Because when I was researching, I found, like, I kind of went off on a tangent of other Indigenous stories and creatures. And I think I mentioned this one in the Yowie episode, but I never actually read what it did. Mm-hmm. So the Yarramayahu is this other creature. I'm going to read this straight. So they're said to live in fig trees. And instead of hunting for food, it's described as waiting for an unsuspecting traveler to rest under the tree.
Mm-hmm.
The creature then drops down and uses its suckers to drain the victim's blood.
Oh, my God.
After that, it swallows the person.
No.
Drinks some water.
Oh.
Takes a nap. When it wakes up, it regurgitates the victim, leaving them shorter than before. The victim's skin also has a reddish tint to it that it didn't have before. It repeats the process several times. At length, the victim is transformed into a Yarramayahu themselves.
Oh, my God. Fun? I hate that. It's like a drop bear, but
I know, because when I read that, I was like, oh, my God, it's a drop bear. And then I was like, no, the things have taken a
demon
turn.
With suckers.
Now it's sucking you into its body and then regurgitating
and
you multiple times.
Vomiting you and eating you and vomiting you and eating you until you become it.
What is that? That is the fucking...
Who came up with that?
That is fucked. Well, the spiritual land of Australia came up with it. That's who came up with it.
I don't like it.
I hate it. I'm never going near a fig tree again.
Never.
Hell.
Cross that off the list.
Done.
Along with poinciana tree.
Water.
Water.
Any water, any body of water in Australia.
Yeah, no billabongs at 1 a.m.
No.
Don't walk past.
There's one thing we've learned is don't go to the billabong at 1 a.m.,
don't
guys.
Go out at night at all.
Ever.
Stay in your house.
If you, especially if
doors.
You live in the bush, just never leave your house.
Yeah. Nothing good out there.
Nothing good.
That was really interesting.
Thanks.
Very informative.
Yeah.
Informative mail hour.
Informative mail hour. But yeah, it's pretty late, so bye.
Bye.